Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us each and every day as we face the issues. Let's not forget it. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your questions, your comments, your dialogue, and discussion about the issue of the day. Today we'll be talking about, will we bow to dictatorship or authoritarianism? Will we bow to it? What have you decided will be your course of action? How will you respond? We have on the horizon today the potentiality and the possibility of a Joe Biden administration. He's made some onerous statements in relationship to what he intends to do and how he intends to rule America. He said to Stacey Abrams just a few days ago, if we had 10 Stacey Abrams, we could rule the world. And that's exactly his goal in modus operandi. So how do we respond as conservatives, as Christians, as patriots? How should we respond to dictatorial, authoritarian rulership rather than we the people ruling government? Government seems to be ruling we the people. We'll be talking about that extensively today. So we encourage you to listen carefully, join in the dialogue and discussion. We'd love to have you. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. The Scripture says in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's a pretty bold statement that Jesus made to his disciples. The key to understanding and knowing the truth is to stay in the Word of God, to constantly be in reading, studying, allowing the Word of God to direct our lives. Jesus also said in John 14:6, I am truth. And then he further elaborates on that by saying in John 17:17, thy word is truth. So we need to stick to the Word of God as the truth book. It is the truth book. It was the secularist George Orwell many years ago that made the statement, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. If you don't believe that, so listen to Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and AOC, and the squad in Washington. If you don't believe that's true, listen to the Communist Network News and what they promulgate each day that's a lie. And somehow, some way, truth is hidden and is not spoken of and is not revealed today by the media or the mob out of Washington. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that made a powerful statement, ladies and gentlemen. He said, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're nearing the day when it will be that way, that the persecution, the prosecution of the Christian will be so horrendous and so major that we will have to literally place our lives on the line to stand for the truth of the Word of God and to stand for truth in general. We're on the fast track for that. That's part of what we'll talk about in this broadcast today. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for homeowners with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, to answer all of your questions about power generation backup equipment, as well as the professional and homeowner brand lawn care for your lawn services. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you ask the question, how can I find it? There's a benchmark, ladies and gentlemen, at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's the gigantic flag, 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find that flag. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues and we look at the issues that we're faced with each and every day, let me remind you the need for Christians to recognize biblical truth and how it gives us inspiration and encouragement, insight and direction for how we ought to live our lives. Perhaps you recall the biblical account of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three young Jewish men under Nebuchadnezzar the king. This is all found, by the way, in Daniel chapter 3. There's 30 verses 1 through 30 in the text. I'm going to use this as a launching pad to set the foundation for what we ought to do as Christians today in taking a stand on what is righteous, what is honorable. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as you recall, under the leadership of King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar set up a 90-foot high, 9-foot wide golden image, a false god. He set it up in the plains of Dura in the province of Babylon. And the king sent out a notice. I find it fascinating, ladies and gentlemen, the truth that we find in the Word of God and how it can be applied to our lives. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, sent out a notice to everybody. It was a royal invitation for everybody in the kingdom to come for the dedication services of the false god. And during that dedication service, all of those attending were commanded to fall down and worship the image, that false god. Three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refused to bow. Their commitment was to honor God, the God of heaven, and not the false God. And the snitchers of that day, the brown shirts of that day, the COVID-19 snitchers of that day, if you will, they reported these three young men to the king. They told the king that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to obey the king's orders and to bow before the false God. Well, according to the scripture in Daniel, the 3rd chapter, verse 13 and falling, and I'll not take time to read the text, you do that. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were called in by King Nebuchadnezzar. He asked them, did you not bow? They said that they had not bowed. He chided them. The Bible says that the King Nebuchadnezzar was furious, and he told them of his authority and what he could do against them and for them because of their refusal to bow. King told them if they would not bow, they would be thrown into the fiery furnace. According to Daniel, the 3rd chapter, verses 16 and following, these three young men stood firm. The king threatened them. The king said, I'm going to give you another opportunity. And when the music plays, you can bow or you're going to burn. And ladies and gentlemen, the king made fun of them, made fun of their God. Says, do you think your God's going to be able to deliver you from the fiery furnace, from what I'm going to do to you? And these three young men said, I believe that God can. But if he chooses not to, O king, then that's okay too. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know the rest of the story if you've studied the scripture. They were thrown into the fiery furnace, and the Bible says very clearly in the text in about verse 19 through 25 that three young men were thrown in the fiery furnace, but when they looked in, there was the fourth as the Son of God, the scripture says. Literally, the pre-incarnate Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, walked with them in the fiery furnace. They did not bow. They refused to bend. And ladies and gentlemen, as a result of that, they didn't burn when thrown in the furnace. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we are at the place in society today. I believe that America is in the position today that requires believers, conservatives, and patriots to stand for truth, to stand for morals and ethics and values, and to understand what we have that is at stake. In fact, in Proverbs, the 14th chapter, 34th verse, the scripture says, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The scripture is very clear in Psalms, the 11th chapter, and in the 3rd verse, ladies and gentlemen, the scripture says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We're watching the evisceration, total annihilation of the foundations that our founding fathers set up for us, especially as found in our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, and therein our Bill of Rights. Ladies and gentlemen, in a Joe Biden administration, I'm saying this with great passion today, simply because I believe that we're on the very verge of watching a Biden administration step into the Oval Office and absolutely rule the nation as a dictator. You recall it was Chuck Schumer on the streets at the running board of his limousine when he was speaking. And Chuck Schumer said that if we can take the two Senate seats in Georgia, we can rule the world. And then he narrows it down in his second speech as he rushes to put his mask on for the cameras. He said, we can rule America. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what the dictators want to do. Joe Biden will be the Trojan horse that via Biden as a Trojan horse will have the total dictatorship, the absolute response coming out of Washington that will cause we the people to be slave servants to the dictatorial authoritarian rule over us. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just give you a little blurb of a Joe Biden administration that should cause consternation, concern, and careful analysis by every Christian that's under the sound of my voice. I pray that you voted, and I pray that you voted for Trump. I pray that if you didn't, you're recognizing, even now, ladies and gentlemen, the horror of the potentiality of a Joe Biden administration. Joe Biden's already said that he would take the Equality Act that was passed by 240 votes February of 2019 in the House, in Nancy Pelosi's House, 240 votes passed it, the Equality Act. It has 46 senators already on board in the Senate. If that bill ever sees daylight, it'll destroy the church, the Christians, and any Christian organization, a Christian ministry or business in the United States of America. And Joe Biden has said that day one, his words, not mine, day one, he's going to make the Equality Act law by executive order. He's going to make it law. And ladies and gentlemen, House Bill 5, the Equality Act, is absolutely nothing more, nothing less than the LGBTQ sodomite agenda for America. This will allow, this will force Christian schools and Christian colleges, Christian adoption agencies be forced to embrace the sodomite agenda. Christians will be prosecuted and persecuted if they preach or teach or publish or distribute any material that's against the sodomite agenda. Transsexuals and perverts and those that have sexual dysphoria, ladies and gentlemen, be allowed to enter the girls and ladies' restrooms, locker rooms, showers, bathrooms. Christian churches and organizations will be forced, ladies and gentlemen, to employ non-Christians in Christian organizations. Even sodomites cannot be refused employment in a Christian organization. Christian schools and Christian churches and Christian organizations will be forced to pay for abortion via the health care coverage for that organization that will be required under the Biden administration. Biden has said that he will institute a national mask mandate. Let me just pause for a moment, ladies and gentlemen. Mask mandate is something that is almost prevalent across America today. Some people think that it is law. It's not. It's a fiat executive order. Executive orders are not law. Executive orders do not trump our Constitution and our Bill of Rights, and yet it is being viewed that way. And most Christians are bowing and bending to that mandate to put a mask on your face to go out even in public in the sunshine and fresh air. But Joe Biden will institute that mask mandate. He's already said that he would. He will confiscate all weapons. There'll be no self-defense. No Bill of Rights under a Joe Biden administration. The Biden administration will force every person to take the COVID vaccination or be punished. Under a Biden administration, no borders, no America, no Bill of Rights. I hope that's gotten your attention as to what's at stake, ladies and gentlemen, that's coming up on January the 6th of next year. Another week now before us. And Vice President Pence will have the privilege and the responsibility of opening the Electoral College votes, and they will be counted, and there will be the opportunity for the House and the Senate and a two-hour session. There will be an opportunity for a House member or a Senate member to stand and object to those numbers, and that taking place, all chaos is going to ensue. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, at that point in time, there will be the opportunity to right the wrong where the election has been stolen. It's been the greatest voting theft in the history of America. But ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing the coming authoritarianism, dictatorship government that's being put into place today. I believe we have Glenn on the line with us today. Let me introduce Glenn to our listening audience. Glenn is a retired police officer, a former associate with the state attorney's office, assigned from JSO to the state attorney's office, having the opportunity down through the 26 years in work before his retirement, doing a lot of investigation and carrying on a lot of work that would generally be found in law enforcement. Glenn, hearing the basic brief monologue, what do you have to say in relationship to where are we going in America from your perspective, from a law enforcement perspective? What do you see taking place, and what do you see the end result as we see it if a Biden administration is in power in America, from the Christian, from the conservative, from the patriotic standpoint? What do we see on the horizon?
Well, Pastor, first, I just wanted to thank you for taking a stand biblically, a biblical stand, and one that is a proper patriot stand that you just don't hear from a pulpit nowadays. I want to thank you for that. And minor correction, I've only had 25 years experience, but just a little background.
It felt like 50 years, though, didn't it?
Time stood still, and then it was over. But I was also I was a field training officer. I was in the honor guard for 13 years, burying co-workers and police officers from our agency and other agencies. I was on the field force. The field force is the riot squad. We were issued the equipment for civil unrest and also for the biohazard suits. So briefly, the biohazard suit with a biohazard filter on a gas mask would potentially stop some sort of infectious disease. Boots that were duct taped to the plastic pants, and then the suit duct taped at the hands where the gloves are, the gas mask, the full head contained, and biohazard filters, very specific. I'm not talking about something for tear gas. I'm talking about something that would stop a potential communicable disease. And then if that were actually used in an actual situation, those suits would then be contained in biohazard containers and then, I guess, ultimately burned, destroyed in some fashion. But to think that the paper mask or a piece of cloth would protect someone from a virus is laughable. It's insulting to anyone who's been in the military or law enforcement to think that that would be something that would protect them. If it did, why would the rioters, Antifa, in Portland, Oregon, be demanding that the police officers stop using tear gas? Because their mask is not protecting them from tear gas, and that is a particulate matter that could be trapped in a regular filter. So the biohazard material would have no problem passing through a regular mask. The mask mandate, in my opinion, is for those to be subject to censorship. We are not allowed to speak out. If you say something against what's in the media, then you are censored. If you post it on Facebook, it is supposedly fact-checked and blocked, or they deem it false information, or they push it so far down in the news feed no one else can see it. If you post a joke, 300 people see it. Maybe somebody even responds. You post something regarding the election or election fraud or anything to do with the China virus, and you are blocked. They are going back in news feeds for Facebook. I'm sorry, maybe off subject just a little bit, but they're going back in time years to find anything that they can find that you may have posted that they disagree with, so they can show that they already have marks against you, and then you're going to be restricted and warned, and then you're going to be blocked. That's happening Facebook, Twitter, Google, YouTube videos, anything out there that says anything contrary to the mainstream, blocked. If you pull up something you saw once, you go back, it says this has been removed, this has been deleted, all the way down the page. What's going on? We're being censored as Americans. The truth is being blocked from us. That being said,
It's what you'd call authoritarian dictatorship government control. Would you consider it that?
Yes, sir, 100%. Our pastors, our religious leaders, the ones that take a stand, are facing persecution. They're being fined. They threatened to put one pastor in California in jail for keeping the church open during, you know, this pandemic. Having the law enforcement background and working a lot with transients, all of my transients should be dead by now. The law enforcement officers, the public safety officials for fire department, rescue, if this was such a widespread pandemic, we'd all be dead. We'd all have been exposed. I transported people in the back of a police car who had tuberculosis, that had AIDS, that had hepatitis. I'm not saying that there's not anything out there. I'm saying that if you're susceptible, highly susceptible, you have other medical conditions, you should probably do something to protect yourself. But to quarantine the world for something that they say could possibly kill you, you're actually more likely to be struck by lightning twice and maybe win the lottery. But it's a matter of censoring the general public. They want to keep you apart. They don't want you to communicate. Okay, everybody's afraid to go outside. For a while, you couldn't go to the beach. You couldn't go to the beach. Oh, you know, by the way, ultraviolet light does kill the virus. You know, in fact, they've got LED light bulbs that are UV bulbs in a certain range, I think 600, 800, that could kill it in 30 seconds or less. You wouldn't even have to disinfect the table. But they didn't want anybody to go outside. This is madness. If our religious leaders do not take a stand on the word of God, and as American patriots, they will not have a chance to preach the word of God. They will.
Exactly right. This is the reason I'm so thankful people like John MacArthur out in California, he's taken a stand. Howbeit, he was not for civil disobedience in history past, but because it has so affected his church and his life and his ministry, he's now taken a stand, of which I am thankful for. But they're trying to literally crush John MacArthur because he's taken the stand. His church has been fined and fined and fined again. They're trying to search for every avenue to do so. And Glenn, I'm looking at an article here that says, two New Mexico mega churches fined for overpacked Christmas Eve services. Let me take the time to read just a paragraph or two and let you comment, because you were touching on it just a moment ago, and this goes right hand in hand with what you're saying. Two mega churches in Albuquerque, New Mexico, are facing stiff fines and community backlash after health officials alleged the houses of worship violated Michelle Grisham's COVID executive orders by hosting indoor church Christmas Eve services attended by hundreds of congregants. One of the churches responded with a public statement saying, quote, "When governments exceed their constitutional authority and contradict what we are called on by God to do, we answer first to God's authority." End quote. Legacy Church and Calvary Church were both sent notices of contemplated action by the State Health Department on Monday. The notices said that the churches were each being fined $10,000, and officials are mulling over other remedies to prevent them from holding gatherings in violation of the rules that they've given intended to stop the spread of COVID. Further in the article, the governor's spokesperson blasted the church services as not only illegal, but also selfish gatherings that defy common sense, the spokesperson said. Quote, "Both churches are facing fines of $5,000 each for violating the public health orders limiting the house of worship of 25% and another $5,000 for violating the state's mask mandate." Glenn, perhaps you're aware of the fact, and some of our listeners may or not be aware of the fact, that the OSHA website says, and I don't know if it's still up, this was 60 days ago, OSHA website said that putting a mask over your face, even the best mask, is like putting a chain link fence over your face to keep the gnats out. In other words, they were talking about the total ineffectiveness of that, and you articulated that well in your previous statement about what you were found in law enforcement. And you've touched on it, and speak to that issue again. The need for churches and pastors and spiritual leaders to take a stand.
Pastor, if they don't take a stand now, when it's too late, it will be too late. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John were preaching the gospel. They were arrested because these folks didn't want to hear it. They told them, don't preach in that name anymore. And they say in the end of in Acts chapter 4, where Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. We cannot but speak the things which we have heard and seen." Basically, better to obey God rather than men. I'm not saying disobey the law. I was law enforcement. I know all about rules and regulation and law enforcement. Okay, I was the one writing the ticket or putting someone in jail or giving a warning. You know, there's a little bit of discretion in certain situations. But if the preachers do not take a stand against the government invading the church, closing the church, and mandating what the church can and can't do, there will come a day where they will not have a voice. They will not have a voice. I mean, we've already cleaned everything in the church. We've already separated rows so people couldn't sit too close together, mandating that the leadership wear a mask as an example. While we sing in church, we are no longer a slave to fear. We're a child of God. What are we doing? What are we doing? The signers of the Declaration of Independence, they broke British law, told their king they were no longer going to be their subjects for restraining their religious freedom.
Yes.
John Hancock said, "I hear the king is getting old and his eyesight is growing dim." So he signed his name very boldly, John Hancock. They knew they were signing their own death warrant for being in rejection of British rule. Okay? I'm not saying people should go out and obey the law, but when the government invades the church and mandates the church can't be open, or that they can come into the church and tell the church what it can and can't do, they have declared war on the church. If pastors,
absolutely. War has been declared on anything that's called spirituality or Christianity for quite some time now. We'll talk about that further in the course of our dialogue today. Glenn, I'm looking at an article that says Americans to get vaccination card to prove they've taken the COVID shot. The article says Americans will receive a vaccination card showing that they've taken the COVID-19 shot, raising the prospect that airlines and venues could refuse services to those who are not immunized. Everyone will be issued a written card that they can put in their wallet to tell them what they have, when, what they've done, and when and if the next dose is due. Dr. Kelly Morris, Associate Director of the Immunization Action Coalition, told the CNN News. Vaccination clinics will also send out records of those who have taken the shots, the immunization registries, and the doses that's been administered, et cetera, et cetera. It will be reported to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and each of the state health departments. What that is saying, Glenn, as I understand it, is that there will be what is called a COVID pass that's ultimately going to be required. In fact, on early morning news yesterday morning, I watched as a news reporter stood in the concourse of one of the major airports in New York and showed picked his cell phone up and showed the cameraman the cell phone and what was called a COVID pass, the little square that you can read, and it tells all about your background and history. I don't know what the little thing and mechanism is called, but it said the COVID pass, and that's being instituted as we speak by every airline in the world, that you've got to have that COVID pass. It's called a QR code, that QR code where you read it, and that shows that you've had your vaccinations. That's on the horizon today to be required by every citizen, every person, if you're going to buy, sell, or trade. And Glenn, that reminds me of what is found in Revelation 13 with the Antichrist stepping on the scene, and you can't buy, sell, or trade without the mark. And we're fastly approaching that, which the COVID pass is the ultimate of getting the injection that we're starting out now with the mask mandate. It is the submission that's being required. Glenn, we've got about 30 seconds left before our break. Respond to that statement, what we're talking about with the future COVID pass and the mask mandate of today.
If you go to the internet, you can type in COVID pass, COVID-pass, and it will come up with exactly what you're saying. It's very interesting that your Democratic politicians said they were pursuing the China model and praising China how they did this. China is already using the cell phone to scan to get on and off mass transportation. In Australia, your QR code, which looks like a bunch of little squares, you put your phone up to it and scan it. Every business you enter, every church you enter, so they know who, and you're registered to your phone, they know who went where they're tracking.
Yes.
Starting in place.
Glenn, hold on. Don't leave. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back in about 1 minute after the top of the hour news.
You